Welcome to Changing the Conversation. This podcast explores the mix of diversity, culture, and tech innovations in our industry. Join us as we sit down with trailblazers, thought leaders, and innovators who are reshaping the landscape of insurance, bringing you stories that redefine the narrative. We are your guide to the evolving landscape of insurance. This is Changing the Conversation, brought to you by Mackay. Thank you very much for joining me on our podcast, Changing the Conversation, formerly the Insurance Brokers Podcast. I'm really, really grateful to have you here. I can already tell that I'm going to learn a lot from you because some of the previous conversations we've had have highlighted words I didn't know. So I'm really interested and intrigued. But before we kind of jump into the conversation, can you just give me a little bit of background about who Paul is and how you come to be where you are having this wonderful conversation with me?
Sarah, well, thank you very much for having me today. And well, what I start off with, how I got into insurance, because that's what we all sort of wonder in the insurance industry. How did we start? Well, mine started when I was 18 years old. I had three offers on the table. One was from Barclays Bank, one was from NatWest, and one was from Sun Alliance, which is now Royal Sun Alliance after the merger. And I fell into insurance. It was a really simple decision. Who was paying me the most money? 35 years in the industry later, I'm still in insurance. I've been around doing various different roles across the industry, worked internationally and so on, and started up a new business of a new insurance company in the last 12 months. So it's really exciting. I think the insurance industry as a sector is great. And I'm pleased to maybe share with some of your listeners today some of my learnings and some of the knowledge I've got about the subject matter.
I'm very, very interested to hear. And I think what we previously discussed was sort of the overall conversation. We're going to talk about, can MGA succeed when supported by fronting solutions? So my first question when we discussed this was, what the hell is fronting? And I'm sure many listeners might know, but I didn't. So please explain to me. Yeah.
I think a lot of industry sectors have all these acronyms and words and what do they mean? And fronting is a good example. Wait, what is fronting? I suppose simplistically, it's just a term for capacity or an insurance solution. It's not that complicated. It's just a reference of a term. But there's how does it work, I think, is the question of your fronting is an insurance company acts on behalf of somebody else, usually a single or multiple reinsurers. And it's very common, Sarah, for international companies. So you might have Pepsi Cola. So they're a US-based company and they may want an insurance solution in the UK, but they may have their own insurance solution provided by a US company. So what they do is they have a fronting partner, a fronter, in the UK that fronts for that business, i.e. issue the insurance policy, and they reinsure back to the US under the master agreement. That's traditional fronting, if you like. And as I say, it's most more common for multinationals and those types of organizations.
That makes quite a lot of sense. And one of the things I'm always staggered by in the insurance industry is how many different parts there are and how many. So what you've just described to me, fronting, as you've just described it, actually, you can see that idea in different parts of the insurance industry across the whole piece. Is, you know, there's lots of different moving parts. I find it fascinating. What is hybrid fronting? Is that any different? Is it more complicated?
Yeah, another term, huh? So that's really clever because they're bolting on hybrid and fronting together. But it is a slightly different. Hybrid fronting, I suppose, is a term where the insurance company who's issuing the policy is actually retaining risk to their balance sheet. So what I was describing previously is Pepsi Cola was my example. They want a policy in the UK, and this company, which would be fronting, insurance company, would then reinsure 100% back to the US, to that master program. Now, hybrid companies work slightly differently. They'll retain risk. So they will have on their balance sheet here, as I use the UK as an example, in this Pepsi Cola example, they would retain some amount of the risk themselves, 10% share, 20% share. It could vary. really the fundamental difference with hybrid fronting and fronting is not just the retention of risk, but the focus on underwriting profit. Fronting for PepsiCola and issuing a policy in the UK is all about compliance, being compliant in that local market, because you're not allowed to issue policies from the US. US insurance companies aren't allowed to do that. Those are rules and regulations that exist in the UK, Europe, and other jurisdictions. But for a hybrid fronter, they're also saying, well, we actually focus on underwriting profit. We retain some of that risk ourselves. So premiums and claims stay in the UK with that insurance company. So they focus on alignment with reinsurers, or profitability. They align around the diversification of the portfolios, and they can use hybrid fronters, can use a broad range of reinsurers, which is, again, a subtle difference with fronting, which tends to be with singular large multinationals, not exclusively, but that tends to be where it focuses.
How is it that you are involved in this? What's Bridgehaven have to do with fronting? Where's your expertise coming from? I'm fascinated.
So two answers to that. I'll give you one lens is me personally. I've had the luxury, I suppose, over my career of working in MGAs, working in insurance companies, and working in reinsurance companies. So I've seen all the different lenses. So it was about, how do I put these components together? So a hybrid fronter was a natural evolution, because we partner at Bridgehaven with MGAs, we're an insurance company, the hybrid front, and we use and work closely with reinsurers. Also, it was really good that some of our investors had gone on this journey already. So if we look at the US market, hybrid fronting has got very grown up over the last 6-7 years. And some of my colleagues started an insurance company, hybrid front in the US, called Transverse, which has recently been bought by Mitsui, which is now therefore called MS Transverse. So we're lucky to have a number of our investors that have got experience of the model in the US, bringing my own personal skill set, those ingredients we've brought to the UK to be the first hybrid fronting company that's been authorised by the PRA.
That's incredible. And that actually was my next question. How big is hybrid fronting in the UK? And you've just answered that. You guys are the first. How big do you expect it to get?
So for us, we focus on MGAs, which I think is a really important sector, not exclusively, but our view of the MGA market in the UK is somewhere around 40 billion of premium opportunity. So it's a very significant market sector. Provision to that market sector is from what I'm going to class as traditional insurance companies, the large household name brands that we all know in the UK, from somebody like a Bridgehaven, who's a newer company, but dedicated capacity. You may have capacity from Lloyd's. So the Lloyd's markets also provide delegated authority to MGA. So there's a big market space at the moment. And we also see from the information we've got that MGAs are growing at a much faster pace than the traditional insurance sector, because they're providing unique services, unique distribution, unique products. They're meeting customer demands. They're much more flexible and agile. And that also matches with us. So we feel that over time, the hybrid fronting solution will actually be quite an interesting disruptor for the UK market in providing, as I say, different solutions that will fit some of the partners in the UK, particularly, as I say, MGAs, which is a growing and large space.
So you've mentioned MGAs as one of the beneficiaries, I suppose, of hybrid fronting. Who else can benefit from this kind of distribution?
Yeah. So fronting, you know that PepsiCola example I gave to you, which was there was a company and they needed the policy to be issued in the UK. Sometimes what happens is reinsurers also need solutions, because they may have relationships in other jurisdictions and they want to provide capacity to a particular customer group. And they say, well, we've got to do that in a compliant way. So we need to issue a local policy in the UK. Who can do that? So sometimes we can front for and retain risk in the hybrid nature for reinsurers. Sometimes reinsurers will talk to us. Also, Sarah, captives. Captives are an interesting segment. You may have seen, or some of your listeners may have noticed in the press, the UK government has come out stating that they want to be more user-friendly with captives. New legislation to make the UK a jurisdiction of choice, because captives by their nature, retention vehicles, provide some of the customer groups with more flexibility. Tends to be larger organisations, but again, it's a really interesting solution that we can provide fronting capacity for, reinsure to the captive, and then the captive has solutions from behind them. That may be another podcast, Sarah, that we could talk about captives and how that works. But for now, reinsurers, captives, managing general agents, and to some extent, even insurance companies will talk to us about, can we front for them? Because sometimes other insurance companies around the world don't have their licenses. So we have an opportunity to support a very broad range of, you know, different distribution models. But MGA, I think, is our core.
So you guys are a member of the MGAA, aren't you? And we do quite a lot of work with the MGAA as well. So let's talk about MGAs as a kind of sector. What, and you've mentioned some of the benefits, but can you give me more on kind of what the benefits are of hybrid fronting to an MGAA? An MGA, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, so MGAs, as I was mentioning earlier, MGAs have a unique position in the market. They have distribution, they often have service opportunities, product offerings that can be more agile and more flexible than maybe some of the mainstream. I think some of the benefits are, one is hybrid fronting can bring alternative reinsurance to the market, so that sometimes MGAs haven't had access to potentially cheaper capital. So sometimes there's a competitive advantage, maybe through profit share arrangements with the MGAs can also be better. It can be additional capacity that gives options to the MGAs, because at the moment there may be limitations in certain market sectors. So as an example, Lloyd's tends to go through an annual planning cycle. One of the advantages that we have is looking at 3 to 5 year capacity arrangements. So hybrid fronting tends to look at it a little bit slightly differently with longer duration. Also, one of the other advantages is that we have a dedicated model that supports MGAs. We are not attracting or targeting customer groups directly. We don't service brokers directly. We only support through MGAs. So there's lack of reduced conflict of interest. We also have a potential to solve some of the business needs and business issues. An example of that is often they'll have aspirations to grow. They would like to do more different products. They would like to fill the gaps or the holes of their existing arrangements, because not everybody has the ability to, every insurance company has the ability to write everything. So I think hybrid fronting can bring alternative capital, advantages from a terms and conditions, additional commission profit shares, I think gives much more flexibility to enable them to grow, the alignment of interest, because there's reduced conflicts of interest with other distribution. I also think there's a potential better of transparency because of from the way that we use data and aligning reinsurers, each party, MGA, insurer and reinsurer, sees the same level of information. There's no mystique, because sometimes what happens to some of our MGA partners is they might be writing a particular class of business and it goes within to a big insurance company and gets a bit lost or gets consumed with everything else and gets a bit of not quite sure what's happening with the result. So with ours, very transparent model, data sharing, everybody sees the same result, both the MGA, insurer and reinsurer. So I think there's lots of advantages of alignment of interest.
When you're talking about, so you guys are the first hybrid fronter in the UK. If somebody's listening to this podcast and they're thinking, how do we go about accessing this type of capacity, what do they do from here?
It's always a great question, isn't it? I think MGAs have different options available to them. One is to use a professional intermediary. So partnering with a broker, you know, that specializes maybe in placing MGA capacity. I think that that's one good way of doing it, because that's the helps with the, you know, the work effort, because it can take a little bit of time, development of information. I think another option is some MGAs already have partnerships with, for example, reinsurers. And maybe it's the introduction to us with the reinsurer. That's another fast track way of doing it. The other option is talk to us or talk to other, you know, fronting partners directly. There's nothing wrong with a direct engagement. We will, you know, we don't have a prescribed way of doing it. The only thing I would encourage your listeners to understand that there is a process to go through. Often there needs to be things like business plans, data sharing and information. I would just ask listeners to understand there's a process and to be prepared for the conversation. So as I mentioned, it can be direct with brokers, reinsurers. There's different ways to approach the market.
So I find this really fascinating. And one of the premises behind changing the conversation, this podcast, is about how insurance industry is being disrupted. So, and you've mentioned that this is, you know, a disrupting influence in the UK market, and it's already been quite a big influence in the US market. What are you kind of bringing from what's happened in US market to the UK, and are there any lessons or practicalities that you can share with us about kind of how this might disrupt the market and what sort of things we can look out for in this sense?
Yeah, I think that some of the disruptors that I was just mentioning, is one of those is a flexible view to capital. What do I mean by that? Is at the moment there's what I call traditional reinsurers, household names like your Munich Re, your Everest Re, Swiss Re, all the big names that people have heard of. But there is quite a lot of deployment of alternative capital. So hybrid fronters, or particularly Bridgehaven, we can consider alternative capital solutions. So those may be non-rated reinsurers. There may be different types of, we mentioned captives. There's other different capital vehicles. Some of your members may have, or listeners may have heard of ILS, so insurance-linked securities. There's other types of capital solutions that we actually might be able to bring to the party. So that's something that's quite innovative, that's not really done in this space. So I think that's a lesson learned from the US, where they've leveraged that. I think another one is the dedicated support to the MGA space. I think that's something that I've seen very much from the US around focusing in on product and supporting the MGAs to succeed. How do we align with the MGAs, with their growth aspirations, their product aspirations, and to some extent trying to be solution orientated? I think that is where our hybrid fronting model has some flexibility, because, and some people that I've talked to said, this is a bit of a strange statement, but we have a flexible risk appetite. And why do we have a flexible risk appetite? Meaning we don't have a fixed view on which products we have to write or which limits we have to write. And the reason for that, it very much depends on the quality of the MGA, how good it is, how good their business plan is, how credible it is, but also the support from the reinsurance markets. Because you'd be surprised, reinsurers have been squeezed. They're actually looking for alternative sources of revenue. And we have access pretty much to the whole global reinsurance space. So we can plug and play different solutions in, which I think is going to be an advantage for a lot of our MGA partners in the UK. So there's a number of disruptive influences. One of the other ones that, you know, this is a bit of a secret, don't want to let this one out of the bag, but just between me and you, Sarah, I'm going to give this one to you.
I won't tell anyone.
Don't tell anybody, but we have a cost advantage across the majority of the competition. I won't tell your listeners, but all they need to do is to look at the companies they work in, the insurance companies, that is. What is their expense ratio? Okay. Guaranteed, all of them will start with a 2 or a 1, and then there'll be another digit. Okay. Ours will be in single digits and quite at the low end. So that enables us to be much more competitive and to pass on that profit share alignment with some of our partners who can deliver an underwriting profit. Remember, hybrid fronting is still an underwriting profit driven business, so that the MGA wins, the insurer wins, and the reinsurer wins. That's one of our advantages. But don't tell anybody I told you that.
My lips are sealed. I literally will tell nobody, but I think you may have just done. So I did a podcast a few years ago with Brian Falchuk about the US market and the kind of movers and shakers in the US market. And what he'd done, which was really interesting, is kind of done an analysis of some startup MGAs and insurers versus composite insurers and how sort of legacy problems occur. And what he was looking at is the newer businesses had started with the solution in mind. So it started with the customer problem and fixed the solution, and the insurance almost came as a secondary to that business, although it was an insurance business. And I was always really fascinated by it. And it seems to me that that's one of the biggest ways that the insurance industry is changing. And this is really what you're talking about as well. It's almost insurance second. It's capacity second. Where's the need? Where's the problem? How are we going to kind of move things to fix new risk appetites, flexible risk appetites, etc.? I think it's really fascinating. What's your prediction for the next 3 to 5 years? Will we see more hybrid fronting businesses popping up in the UK? Are you guys going to monopolize the area? Like, what do we think?
No, being realistic, I think there will be other people that will follow. I think the market has the opportunity to expand. As I mentioned, I think it's a big opportunity. It's not necessarily the hybrid fronters competing against each other. To some extent, we want to disrupt the broader market. And I think it's actually probably the bigger players and some of the other ones that may feel us more than necessarily the hybrid fronts. So I've got no problem with competition. I think it's healthy for the insurance sector. I think it's great that there'll be more capacity coming. I think that's the right thing to do. But obviously, I'd like a longer head start. So if they want to wait another year, they can wait. Okay.
Brilliant. So anybody listening, just give it a year. Let Paul get his legs under the table and and watch this space. What I'd quite like to do, actually, because I'm really interested in this. And I definitely think you should have a conversation with Brian. If you don't know him, I'll kind of join you two together, because I think you'd have a fascinating conversation. But I would love to have another conversation with you in 6-12 months down the line to see where you are, like what you know, what sort of things have happened in your world, because it's really interesting. And of course, I will see you at various events, and we'll have a catch up then as well.
We will indeed. And I think we've got, we're a bronze sponsor, I think. So we're doing the breakfast at the annual or the July conference, which will be really good. So yeah, I'll see you about. That'll be great, Sarah. Happy to do another one. About.
Yeah. Wonderful. Paul, thank you very much for your time. This was really interesting. Much appreciated.
Sarah, thank you for yours. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to another enlightening episode of Changing the Conversation. If you enjoyed today's insights and want to stay connected with the latest industry trends, be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. Feel free to reach out to us on social media or through our website to share your thoughts and suggestions, or even to nominate someone whose contribution deserves to be heard. Until next time, this is Sarah Myers-Goth signing off from Changing the Conversation.